persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Stay right there, Damien. I was very clear on what the Lord told me to do. Very clear what he has asked me to preach for the next couple of months. To walk through each one of the five sermons that Jesus preaches in the Gospel of Matthew. There are five discourses of five sermons. And so we're really having a five-night revival over a few months. And we're now in the second sermon that Jesus preaches in the gospel according to Matthew. And God has just, through his Spirit, given me certain scriptures to preach from, sometimes in a group, sometimes individually. And he just said, son, keep reading and keep preaching. And after preaching last week, after preaching the last three sermons, this is what came up next. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. I want to preach this Sunday as God has seen fit from the subject trouble in the city. Trouble in the city. We solicit your prayers. My brothers and my sisters, on March 23rd, I think it was, if my memory is correct, you remember what happened in Louisville, Kentucky. You remember that four officers, as I believe, and it might have been a few others, but I do know that there were four originally who had a no-knock warrant to break into the home Breonna Taylor, looking for drugs and cash. You should know all the story by now, but just let me remind you a few facts. Their investigation suggested to them and showed to them that Breonna Taylor's ex, somebody say ex, because all of us are ex. And aren't you glad that God ain't tied your ex to who you are right now? There's a word right there. We could stay all day right now. But ain't you glad that God ain't the magistrate, God ain't the judge, God ain't the police captain in Louisville, Kentucky? Because God doesn't tie you to your ex. God don't tie you to your ex. All of us are ex something. I ain't got enough time to go through your list. You ain't got enough time to go through my list. But they charged this woman with being tied to her ex and suggested because her ex was a drug dealer that she was involved in felonious activity, that her ex was hiding drugs and money at her apartment. And so they were able to get what's called a no-knock warrant. A no-knock warrant means that you don't have to knock on the door. You don't have to pronounce yourself as being police. That you can just go to any home, any apartment, any condo, any business, knock the door down, and not give the people any opportunity to hide what you're looking for. Now, there are, competing evidence or competing views. And I believe most likely that they did knock, even though they had a no-knock warrant. I do believe they did present themselves because Breonna had enough time to call the police and let them know that someone was breaking in their home. There would not have been enough time for her to call the police and call 911 and for her boyfriend at the time to grab a gun if they had just blown the door down and walked right on in, where somebody would figure out what's going on here. She called the police and said someone was breaking in their home. Even though they had a no-knock warrant, somebody said something. And a man's home, according to every law that I know of, is their castle. And every law and state that I know of says that a man has a right to protect their castle. Every home and every state, Judge, that I know of, you have a right. So if someone breaks in my home, I have the right to I ain't got no gun, but I'm going to pretend to shoot you because of the laws will be on my side. Well, let me say, should be. Help me, Holy Ghost, on my side. They break into their home. He thinks it is an intruder. He shoots first. They shoot back. Irony is that they don't kill the man who shoots them or shoots at them. They kill an innocent bystander. We all know by now how many rounds, and I don't understand what type of police training they have, Judge, and I don't know why you got to shoot 77 rounds just for two people. And Breonna Tyler lost her life, and her boyfriend lived to tell the story. I don't care whatever happens in your life, and you can go back to the 9 who died in Charleston, South Carolina. God always leaves a witness. Help me, somebody. God always leaves a remnant, and he always leaves a witness. That skinhead asked that one woman, I can't think of her name right now, have I shot you yet? And she said, no. And she says, he says, I'm going to let you live, Broderick, to tell the story. God never leaves without leaving a witness. So let me ask you a question. Why you ain't told your story? Why you haven't told your story? I just believe, and I can't see you, but I just believe that there's somebody and everybody. I believe that everybody who is listening to me right now will watch me during the week. Everybody got a story. And everybody got a testimony. And everybody has to be a witness because God has left you alive. Matter of fact, God woke you up this morning to tell your story. God gave you breath in your body to tell your story. God gave you one more day to tell your story. And if you have not told your story yet today or yet this morning, if you haven't thanked God right now, I want to give you a little few minutes right now to say thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, God, that I am an ex. I am an ex. Prostitute. I am an ex-pimp. I am an ex-gay member. I am ex-homosexual. I am ex-adulterer. I am ex-gay. I am ex-gossiper. Whatever your ex means, and you have not held it. Hey! Against me. And I want to be a witness for you, God. And I ain't worthy to stand behind this text and preach the perfective gospel of Jesus Christ. You always have used raggedy people to preach a perfect word. You use raggedy singers to sing melodious songs. You use raggedy musicians to play melodies from heaven. I just need some other people who just filthy rags, just saved by grace, just to say, thank you, God, looking beyond myself, letting me serve you. So since March, we've been waiting for justice. Y'all, let's tell the truth. We knew. You know, because everyone that looked like us ain't us. Everyone who has my hue don't have my view. Every skin folk ain't kin folk. And y'all ain't know this, but the colored AG of Kentucky married Mitch McConnell, the Grand Wizard's granddaughter. He in the family. just told me Herod's family. All of them. Ain't none of them had good hearts. And I ain't being judgmental because I just judge behaviors, but I think your behavior is tied to your heart. And so this colored AG, Attorney General of the state, presents the case to a grand jury. And let me tell you about grand juries. A grand jury is assembled by a prosecutor. It can be a local prosecutor, it can be a state prosecutor, it can be a federal prosecutor. In a grand jury case, only the prosecutor presents evidence. The prosecutor presents evidence to a state grand jury to get an indictment. He presents evidence of what they think is a possible crime and then gives that grand jury the decision to say whether a crime occurred or not. The grand jury can only make that decision based upon what is presented to them. There's no witnesses. There's no defense attorney to say, hold up, you missed this fact. Only the facts that are presented to the grand jury. Yes, they are witnesses. Sorry, there are witnesses that the solicitor or the attorney general can bring in. But only the facts that are presented to them are they able to weigh. And if your evidence is the cops that have already falsified the reports, the information that the grand jury is going to get is going to be falsified as rest. And to add insult to injury, not only were we insulted when none of them were charged with any culpability, that's a big old highfalutin word for fault, that's when you're a lawyer's son, any culpability for the death of Breonna Taylor, what added insult to injury, Hazel, was the only charge that was levied against any of the officers is the one that was already fired for shooting into a wall. In other words, the wall was more important than a black woman's life. Reminds me of the laws. That's why there have been two sets of justice since 1670s when they decided that if you killed a Negro slave, it was not felonious. That you could kill a Negro slave, you could kill a black, and it was not felony because you would not injure your own property. And so we are still, y'all, less than property. How you find someone guilty of injuring property but not of killing a woman's life. And so the city is in an uproar. We've been in an uproar since George Floyd. Matter of fact, we'd have been in an uproar since 1619, since the day we got here. Ain't nothing much changed. But we see all across these lands, our cities, our communities, some on fire, some being vandalized, some being looted. And I really don't like that word, looted, because some of this stuff belonged to us anyhow. You know, it's very interesting during the slavery times that the slaves, you know, if you stole a chicken from the master, that wasn't stealing because the master owed you that chicken. You had work, and I'm not being funny, and I'm serious about this. That the master owed you that because you had worked hard for it. You just ain't got paid for it. What was felonious for slaves is if you ever stole something from another slave. That was stealing. If you took something from the master, that was wages. I wish I had a witness up in here. That was wages. But if you stole something from another slave, that was stealing because we all in this thing together. Ain't none of us got nothing anyhow. So we got to stick together. So why are you going to steal something? Help me somebody. And so here we are once again having trouble in the city. And Jesus warns his disciples in Matthew 10. When you come preaching the good news of Jesus, when you come preaching the fact that the kingdom has come, When you come telling people that the way they're living is wrong and that that's a better way, when you come, listen here, y'all, telling people that the laws are corrupt in themselves, there's going to be trouble in the city. When you got hypocrites like the Pharisees, now you got to remember now, Jesus loved the sinner. He hated hypocrites. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Only people he really ever got mad at and really ever called out and called fools and generation of vipers were hypocrites. He could deal with your sins. He could deal with the sinner. He could deal with that woman caught in the act of adultery. He could deal with the leper. He can deal with anyone who is honest with your problems and with our problems. What he cannot deal with is a hypocrite who's a liar. That's why I'm saved. That's why ain't nobody been exposed. That's why God been covered in the blood of Jesus. Because God knows that I have been honest with my vices, my temptations, and my issues. And just like Moses, he has covered me. And I need some other witnesses in here. You know all about you. Ain't no need for you to be lying about it and being a hypocrite about it. God knows. And he still lies, loves you. But he can't deal with United States senators who say, I will not vote for Supreme Court justice during Obama's last year, but I'm going to fast forward. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, they will have hell to pay. He can't deal with hypocrites, Erica. He can deal with sinners who tell the truth on themselves. And he don't need you to tell him about somebody else's sin. He already know. Worry about your own self, right? You need to sweep around your own front door, take sin months to take around your own business, and 6 months to stay away from my. You need enough time to deal with you. You ain't got enough time to deal with your neighbor unless you're trying to help your neighbor. Hey! So it says you're going to go in these cities. And they're going to try to kick you out because you're preaching peace. And that's what protesters are really doing. I know it seems counterintuitive, but that's what protesters are doing. They are protesting the fact that there's no peace in the city. And for us to get your attention to bring about peace, we're going to mess some stuff up. We're going to shake some stuff up. We're going to tear some stuff down so that we have to rebuild it the right way. That's what defunding the police is about. The defunding the police ain't about us taking money from the police and not having a police station. Shoot, it's black folk who call the police the most anyhow. On us. Each other. We ain't trying not to have police. We just want the police to be about the right things and serve the right way. So he says, every time you go into a city, there's going to be trouble. You will be hated. You will be judged. You will be ridiculed. And just like the National Guard has tried to do in Portland and Seattle and Louisville, they will try to kick you out. And Jesus says, don't put up a fight. Leave. He first says, shake the dust. Shake the dust off your feet. In other words, don't carry the abuse that you experience in this city into the next city. That's a story from some woman right now who's been abused in one relationship, and you can't see the shining armor. You can't see Boaz coming down the road because you ain't shaking off the dust off the old relationship because you think every man going to abuse you and use you. And you have missed your Boaz because you got too much dust on your feet. Ain't nobody want to say nothing. Ain't nobody here to say nothing, but I'm just going to say it to myself. Hi, that was good preaching, Chris. I'm going to give myself a little clap, clap, clap right there because that's good preaching. You need to dust some stuff off your feet. You cannot hold stuff and carry it into your next season in your life. And he says, dust it off and move to the next city. And then he says, keep moving. Wish there were some neighbors in here. He says, keep moving. Because he says there aren't enough cities in Israel. Put that scripture back up, Dane. He says there are not enough cities in Israel for you
to get tired. He says, you will never run out of places. Ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. He says, in other words, Broderick, you never are going to have a place where there's not a sinner for you to save. There's never going to be a time where you will not have a person to minister to. I know they're going to reject you in this city, but go on to the next city. But don't stop going. We can come back to him. Don't stop, because you're never going to run out of cities to preach. Even though there's trouble right now in Louisville, there could be trouble in Columbia next week. Could be trouble in Charleston next week. Could be trouble in D.C. next week. And the man of God and the people of God will never run out of places where we have to preach the love of Jesus Christ. And he's also saying, which is gooder than that, is that God never runs out of options. And that's what I want to leave you with right now. God never runs out of options. You never can box God in. I know she's about to be confirmed. I know the Democrats can't stop it. I know it's most likely going to be a 6-3 conservative Supreme Court. I know everything on the table. A lot of people who are liberal are worried about you, worried about Roe versus Wade. Biblically, we're going to see what happens with same-sex marriage. I know you're worried about your civil liberties. I know you're worried about everything. But God has told me to stop by and remind you, God ain't out of options. And the first option you got is to vote. If you don't like what's going on right now in your America, it's because you ain't contributed to America. And I want to let somebody else know, as I told Bible study on Wednesday night, God sometimes is slow to move. I know you're wondering, where is God? I know you're wondering, how is our good God allowing all this bad stuff to happen in these cities? Why is there so much trouble in the city? But God told us that when you come preaching the good news of Jesus and try to bring people together in love, there's always going to be trouble in the city, because power don't give up easily. The Montgomery Improvement Association started the Montgomery bus boycott on December 5th. 1955. December 5th, 1955. It did not end. And for 384 days later, on December the 20th of 1956, it took them 384 days to integrate not only the buses, but when the buses integrated, y'all, the entire city integrated. Then after that happened in 1956, we get the Civil Rights Act of 1964, when the entire country integrated. And then the next year after that, we get the Voting Rights Act of 1965, where the entire country and every African American, both men and women, got the right to vote. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? Is on the way. Because of the trouble that King and Rosa Parks and Abernathy started in Montgomery, led to Birmingham, led to Greensboro, led to Selma, led to Charleston, led to all over the South. And because they created trouble in one city, the entire country got blessed. Because God, y'all, never runs out of options. He says, keep it moving, because we serve a God that is always going from where he's coming and coming from where he's going.
Say that one more again for the short bus. He's always coming from where he's going and going from where he's coming. And he has told us and he is telling us today, keep it moving because you will always find the city. You will always find the town. You will always find the people. You will always find someone that is in need of a word from the Lord. I'm speaking to a sister right now and her mother who just got a bad report on the other day, that cancer has spread all over her body. God never runs out of options. I'm speaking to a country right now that's scared because you fear that your civil liberties are going to be wiped away because of this new Supreme Court justice. God never runs out of options. And I say this very softly. God works sometimes in death so that we might have life. And just as he's taken Ginsburg away, he got the right to take somebody else away so that his plans might be accomplished. Without Jesus dying, and we thought it was over, we thought it was done, his disciples went back to their own cities. For remember, he said, tell my disciples to tarry here in the city of Galilee. And if they tarry here in the city of Galilee, watch what happens on Sunday morning. I tell you again, sit back and watch. I know from our human perspective, it looks bad right now. From our human perspective, we don't understand why the polls are so tight and so close when we have this fool in office that does not seem to have the heart of God. I know it seems that they are turning or really are splitting the country in two and that we are not one United States of America, but we're now the divided states of America. But Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us today, you will never run out of cities. You will never run out of people. You will never run out of communities. You will never run out of places where you can preach my love. So let's run on and see what the end's going to be. Because anybody know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. There might be one today you're struggling right now. You think you're out of options. You've got trouble not only in the city, but you've got trouble in your home. You've got trouble on your job. You've got trouble in your marriage. Trouble with your kids. You feel you're being pushed out like the disciples were pushed out of some cities. You feel like there's an invisible National Guard right now with guns blazing at you. And you need a protector. You need a provider. You need someone who's going